and welcome to Independence, the FISC podcast. My name is Joel Murray. I'm the Communications and Media Officer for FISC, and I'm joined online by Ben Midgley. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. You are from Ebenezer Baptist Church in Mould.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the church up in Mould, or where is Mould? What's the area that you're in? Where's the church? What are you all about?
So, Mould is northeast Wales, and you know, for people who are kind of looking for a locator, I suppose we're about 20 minutes over the border from Chester, 25 minutes from Chester. I guess Liverpool is our nearest big city, but once you're into Wales, they've got all these market towns that are dotted out at sort of equidistance across the whole kind of. There's about 700,000 people in North Wales, northeast Wales, North Wales generally, and we're in one of these market towns. It's a very healthy little market town, and the church here has, it goes right back into the, you know, the 1800s and before. Wow. Probably early Baptists and stuff, but they've just been really blessed with evangelical ministry and progressive thinking pastors who've moved the ministry forward and kept it going and been prepared to sell old buildings and move to new ones and build things. And so there's always been sort of like a bit on a front foot. And so I've come in just back in 2019, just before lockdown and stuff. There'd been a vacancy for a year to pick up the reins on what was already quite a an active and moving congregation. Yeah, real nice cross-section of ages across the church, and yeah, healthy sort of mix of different kinds of ministries reaching into different parts of our community and serving the old and the young alike and stuff. So yeah, I think we're well established in the town as being, we are probably the largest congregation in the town, and the fact that that's an evangelical church with quite high profile is a real blessing. It's a real blessing. Yeah. People know the church.
Great. And in North Wales, is it Welsh speaking? Is it a mix? Is it English? How does that work?
Yeah. So I think North Wales is probably about 20%, 30% Welsh speaking. But as you go to the west of the country, those proportions go up significantly. So you might have 40, 50%. Right. Whereas as you come to the east, it gets lower, sort of 10, 15. But I'd say probably 10, 15% of our congregation are first language Welsh or speak Welsh fluently. And I mean, my Welsh is it's a Dippenbach, you know, it's a little bit, really, you know.
Okay. I'll say un peu in French.
Well, same thing, exactly. But I do think, you know, even just sort of, you know, starting a service with Croeso Pawb in Iesu Grist, which is like welcome people in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Just kind of, you know, they're a really important part of Wales, Welsh culture, and it's really important just to, yeah, definitely recognise that. But it's an English service, but I think as you go to West Wales, the Welsh language is, you know, there are the Welsh-speaking churches and stuff like that, whereas here, mostly it's English-speaking over this side,
Yeah, great. All right, we're going to talk about the Pray for 100 guide. I did notice we've got a couple of Ebenezers in the guide, and more than that across FIC. I wondered the question, do you have to explain what Ebenezer means to people? How does that work?
Yeah, right, indeed. Good. So we do a big outreach at Christmas time. We do a big carol service and you know, a bit of a preach and stuff. And I do a whole thing the last couple of times on Ebenezer Scrooge. And actually, you know, it's somebody who is really transformed and becomes, his life has changed. And we forget that, you know, you think of Ebenezer as being this very negative connotation, the villain sort of thing. But actually, he's the person who gets converted in a way and, you know, comes out differently. So I tend to make a feature out of that. And Ebenezer was such a popular chapel name. It means the stone of God's help. It was a marker point. You know, to build a stone chapel was to say, you know, the Lord has helped us to this point. And so it's very common. So it's an opportunity to say, and we've got a big sign inside the church, Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us. So like to try and help people kind of get a grip on what that's about. And a lot of people just know us as Eb. Or the Baptists, and the town's got a slight slope to it, and there's Top Church, which is the Anglican church in Wales church, and then we're also known as Bottom Church because we're at the sort of, you know, the oi poloi end of town sort of thing, you know.
Oh, great. That's really cool. So in the Pray for 100 guide, if people are watching, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
You can look online on the FIC website as well to all the things in there. There's 100 different mission initiatives across Britain that are collected here for encouragement and also to pray for. Number 30 is Ebenezer Baptist Church in Mold. And it says, Ebenezer Baptist Church planted into Buckley, a local town, 4 years ago. Over lockdown, the plant took a number of hits and the team was recalled. Pray for wisdom as the church reflect on lessons learned and look to replant in the church at some point in the future, and pray for the team to be renewed, refreshed, and re-energized. So that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. It's maybe not one that you might expect looking through a book full of all the kind of mission work that's going on around the country.
Yeah.
It was 2018. Is that when the church plant happened in Buckley?
Yeah, I think it probably goes back a little bit before that. But yeah, I mean, it was certainly, it was in play by 2018, fully in play,
And Ebenezer's planted other churches in the past. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the kind of story for this church plant into Buckley?
Yeah, sure. So there's a history of a lot of missionaries connected with the church. There's a real heart for mission generally, more internationally, but I think the emphasis started to move towards local mission. And we sent our first mission team, as it were, to a small cluster of villages doing, it was more like a mission outpost in a cluster of villages around a place called Pantamoon. That was been going for about 12 years. And then a couple of years after that, we did a church plant in a town called Denby, which is maybe about 30 minutes from here, more into Welsh Wales, as it were. And that's upstanding, you know, it's a really, you know, established young church now, which is really, really exciting. Yeah, Daph Cunningham and his wife Amanda there. It's been tough. Planting church is really tough. I mean, you know, but you know, they've got this good fruit there. And encouraged by all of that, the real concern was to sit then also to look at Buckley, which is really our neighbouring town. It used to be quite a small kind of adage to Mold, but it's now grown and grown with kind of Barratt Britain kind of housing and lots of kind of commuter properties, relatively affordable, and people can commute to Manchester and Liverpool and these sort of places for work. So it's quite attractive, and it's grown. It's bigger than Mold now. And the church is there. There are churches there, but they tend to serve the old community that were established, you know, from when the town was quite small. And this wider community is not really engaging. It probably doesn't even shop in the town. It probably, you know, it's very much transient. So that kind of vision of how the Lord makes a people, whether of people who aren't a people, you know, to make a community out of people who aren't a community. We just really wanted to see a new church there. There's a lot of people who are unchurched. And so, yeah, there'd been a lot of prayer for some considerable time. This was a long-term burden to plant into Buckley. And then suddenly, like providentially, all these things start to come together. So we'd had a bit of experience with church planting anyway. And in addition, we got a grant from Word Alive to support a ministry trainee. We got an American fully funded, turned up, looking to do church planting in Wales. We had a number of people move into the area and buy property in Buckley who wanted to come to Ebenezer.
Yeah.
So, you know, there'd been prayer. There was these kind of providences all coming together, and the church kind of gathered itself up and got bold and said, right, we're going to start this work. And, you know, the church planter, Jonathan, was, you know, very active, very sociable, and, you know, getting out amongst people. And this younger chap, Mike, who was working with him, you know, had a lot to learn. We were hoping he might sort of develop into the, you know, the pastor, I suppose, over time. They were making a really good start, and they found a good location. And So rather than looking at sort of perhaps of why we pulled it at the moment, but what then happened was COVID, of course. That was a big feature. Yeah. And Jonathan went back to the States. And we were all a bit, you know, very sad and sorry that he wanted to do that. There were health issues to do with his family. I think the truth is the church had hit a number of quite significant health issues within the group, which were quite absorbing. And anyway, Jonathan went back to the States. COVID, Mike, who's relatively inexperienced, we brought him in under our own staff team as an assistant pastor, and tried to support him through that. And he did an absolutely sterling work through the lockdown, just holding it all together. He's a very relational guy anyway, and kept the group together. And there were some real personal hardships, going on within the group. But by his own admission, he just did not feel equipped to pastor the church, or let alone do church planting, that kind of more missionary evangelistic giftings. So we encouraged him actually to apply for a post as an assistant pastor. He went down to Kent, and he's got a great job down there working with a pastor there.
Okay.
So the senior kind of people were, and work, we tried to recruit to see if we could find somebody who could pick it up for us. Mm. And FIC was very helpful with that. We had some really good candidates, and we had one particular couple who were absolutely fantastic couple. And we went into an elders meeting, and just all of us went in there assuming we were going to appoint them. It was so strange, but honestly, unanimously, we all came away with this sense of it's a no. And we all had absolute peace about it. It was the most unusual experience, really. Mm. We just felt like we were putting them in too far into the deep end. It wouldn't be responsible for them or for the better, because church planting is tough.
Yeah.
And so the next decision was like, here we are, they're this little group, and we could just supply the pulpit, as it were. But really what you've got there is just another small group needing pulpit supply. But to plant a church, you need more than just a pastor or pulpit supply. You need a church planting team and a group of people who, they've gone into this with that vision and desire, that prayerful desire to be a mission team together, rather than a congregation, a pastoral congregation, who want pastoring and teaching and all that has to happen. But do you know what I mean? There's another whole raft of activity. So yeah, we talked and prayed with them at length, and in a way they were kind of relieved. Not, they were, you know, heartbroken in one sense, but they, I'll tell you what though, Joel, I mean, I'm still answering your question here. They built such an incredible bond between them.
Mm.
And now they're like, there's a house group, and quite a few of them are still in that house group as part of Ebenezer again, and they've settled back in extremely well. But there's something really special happened in those few years, not only in the terms of the outreach that they did, but really amongst themselves in terms of the way they've grown in the Lord, and been together in some really tough circumstances. Mm. So there's lots of good things coming out from it all. I don't think anybody's lost any sleep that this wasn't the right decision. And I guess talking to other church planters, I think about a third of church plants return to their, and it's good to talk about it, and it's good to manage expectations and help people to be reasonable and see the pastoral needs of the group in concern. And, you know, doesn't mean we can't go in again. The Lord opens the door, does it? It's just how it is for now. And everybody really got a lot of peace about it, right across the eldership and into the church and amongst the group at Buckley as well. So, that's where we've landed.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. Sometimes you're wondering, where's the Lord leading? And all the things seem to slot into place. You think, right, well, this has to be. There's no coincidences, is it? It's of the Lord. And it doesn't work out. And you're like, well, was it of the Lord? Oh no. Can we ever know God's will? I mean, I think that's why it's important to talk about this kind of thing when it doesn't go as you expect, because it doesn't mean that it wasn't the Lord's will.
No, absolutely.
And that some of those good things, like the group bonding together well and getting to know people, getting to know each other and building those relationships, is just wouldn't have happened if this wasn't going on.
Honestly, and it's raised profile, and there has been a lot of very positive things. But I just literally before I came on, I was flicking through my news feed, and various memes came up, and there was one that said it was a little drawing of God's will, and it was a little man standing in a straight line. He's on his bike, and it's a straight line ahead of him, and then my will, that was, and then God's will, and then it's like all these bumps and
up and down,
ups and down, and you know, he's able, isn't he, to take you through and navigate you through the realities of life and disabuse you of some of your own ideas and things. And that's actually a really healthy process of sanctification and testing of faith, which makes you grow. So we're counting it all joy, beloved. Yeah, I think reflecting on the work, I think as well, it's given us a chance to actually stop. And COVID generally did this for us as a church. We were quite, I wouldn't say maybe overextended, it's not maybe the right phrase, but we had tentacles out in lots of different ways. And COVID forced all of us, didn't it, to regroup and rethink and consolidate and assess what things we do and how well we do them and why we do them. And yeah, looking at it, I think if the Lord grants us another opportunity, I definitely would say we'd spend longer preparing the group, less concerned about whether they geographically just happen to live in the right place, and more concerned about whether they had a sense of desire and calling to be part of something that. And the church planter clearly was, in a way, more under the authority of the sending churches back in the States and that agenda than he was, even though he's an elder with us. It's not a criticism, it's just an observation. I think it's really important to be working with people that we're working on the same project under the same sort of canopy. And I think that was a bit of a weakness. So some healthy lessons learned there, I think. And we've been talking a lot to people like Acts 29 and Cornerstone Collective that do quite a lot of church planting initiatives quite near to us in the Wirral and Liverpool. Yeah. They've been very helpful to kind of help us to start rethinking. And the other thing we're involved with, because North Wales is a strange situation. It used to be very densely populated. It had a very dense Christian population, very full churches, and you know, the revival obviously back in the day and all that sort of stuff. But it's really been depleted. I mean, it's this very large area with very disparate communities, and we're really concerned about how to see North Wales repopulated and replanted. And I think it's made us start to work more closely with other churches around the region, saying maybe just doing it on our own isn't the answer. Maybe we need to collaborate with other churches who also have a stake in that part of the world and a concern for mission, local mission. And I would say there's some rich relationships that are being developed. We're starting to get initiatives to actually pray together across the region about these things, try to identify ways we could practically support each other. It's slow. It may take, Josh is very good about this, may take, you know, generation, you know, may take more. Yeah. We may not see the results of our labors, but there's no reason not to make a start, is there? It's not to be overwhelmed by that and just have another go.
Yeah. It sounds like God's already been answering those prayers from your entry in the guide about reflecting and thinking then about planting into the future. Is there anything kind of more concrete in the plans, in the going, or is it that kind of relationship building and long-term thinking still?
Yeah, so there is the beginnings of something, actually. Might be premature to say too much, but what's been quite interesting as well, one of the questions we've been asking in this group, Reach North Wales, is what are the kind of red lines in terms of who we work with and who we don't work with in collaboration. And, you know, is we want to see like-minded evangelical churches. But we accept that not all churches, you know, there might be different views on the gifts or different views on women in ministry or different, you know, where are the red lines, those sort of things. And we've actually started talking to a Presbyterian group who have got somebody who is concerned about doing some church planting, and they're interested in church planting in Wales. So they're not in independency. But we agreed that really, in a way, they're absolutely evangelical. I don't personally share their views on baptism or on church governance, but I know that these are gospel people, and would we want to support them if they were going to do that? Yes. Yes, we would. I mean, I'd much rather they did it than nothing got done, you know. So that might be that it's not us directly. And so there is a chap who is expressing interest in that. So I value prayer for that. I've received a couple of emails from people who've been praying for us around the country. I was just thrilled about that. Yeah, I think there has been some answers to prayer there. I'm very grateful for that. And the other thing we did practically was in it just that in the financing of things, we have quite a large percentage, nearly 20% of our budget goes to mission of all the income that comes into the church. But we decided to actually siphon off a proportion of that strictly for church planting. So we're sort of already digging in to make sure that the finances are there for whatever the next project is. And I think church planting budgets across the country, if people were doing that, because often what happens is you get people and stuff happens, but then you go, oh, we haven't got any money or something. So, you know, you start canvassing around. But if a few of us, you know, work together and we've got these perhaps modest budgets, but we can collaborate, because in the end, I mean, money is just a small part of the whole mix. It's the right people with the right desires, and it is very self-sacrificing work. There's no doubt about it. You do expose yourself in lots of ways, but some people are just natural and great at that. They're gifted for it. God gives these gifts to the church, doesn't he? And it's but making sure that we can resource them as they appear, and we're not left kind of, you know, could you do it for nothing or something like that. And in practice it's just not realistic, you know, the families and all the rest of it. So we'd love to see that's not just one, whatever the project in Buckley is, we'd love to see not just one but two couples, two leaders together going into it. I think it's really important to have a colleague with whom you serve and share and support for the well-being of the person in question, for the leaders themselves, and to not worry about being part of either a Presbyterian consistory or something like that, or part of an FIEC fellowship of churches, or in submission to a local church. I think it's really important these folks are plugged in, well plugged into the local church, and not overly exposed out on their own. You wouldn't do that with a child. You wouldn't put a baby out. You know, you nurture. It needs nurture over and patience over what can be quite a long period of time.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting about that kind of partnership and who would we be happy to partner with. That's what we've been talking about in the local conferences this year.
Right.
About, where's the kind of boundaries and thinking about working with other gospel churches that are evangelical. Maybe we wouldn't be in the same church together, but that doesn't mean that we can't work for this kind of thing. So that's really good to think through.
Indeed.
I was going to ask about some people who might be listening in other places of the country, northwest Wales, northeast Wales, I suppose. Who are thinking the same kind of thing. So there's an area nearby and it's growing and growing and growing and it needs a gospel presence. We really like to get in there. Or maybe they've done that and they've kind of done the plant and it's maybe not working so well. So they're kind of two different types of people. Do you have kind of a bit of advice? We've already talked about various things already, but for that person who's thinking through that and listening now, how could you counsel them?
So I'd say in terms of church planting, people considering a church plant, there must be a healthy leadership at the church that's doing the planting. That's your primary. Healthy leaders, healthy churches. So that's your baseline. You've got to really be in a good place yourselves because it's going to stretch you and you need to have the inner capacity and resources. And that will be manifest if you've got those capacities. That'll be manifest in the life of the church. And we've been talking a lot about, and people like Ray Ortland and other people have been very helpful on this, about gospel culture, that it's not just we say the right thing at the front and then we tell people to go and do it. There's a gradual formation of a culture that responds to the gospel in truth. So like, you know, a desire for mission is not just we preach on mission, now go and do a mission. It's you preach your mission and then the desire and hunger for mission, the appetite for mission is formed and it becomes part of the conversation and the prayer life of the church. So you get healthy leaders, healthy churches, and church planting is the overflow of the healthy church. It doesn't have to be one congregation. It could be several congregations in collaboration in some way, as long as you all agree what the lines are. But it is the overflow of the healthy church. I'd say that is your kind of audit. And don't hurry it. Make sure you've got all those things established, and get the team who are coming together, people who've got this appetite and trust with each other, and don't hurry them into the field. Get them with a sense of preparation.
Yeah.
Get your team right. So that's perhaps, and then for people who are perhaps struggling out with one of their church plants. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of our church plants, you know, it's the Denby church plant. They've really been through the mill at times. Especially, you know, I have the utmost respect for their perseverance. And there is sort of a point where you can sort of, you know, people just get left in the field and they just plow on and they get there and it's amazing. And thank God for it. But that, I think even in that case, you just have to be prepared to just not think you can just drop that team and just go. You've got to just, when they're struggling, you've got to be prepared to lean in perhaps over the next decade or more. So it might just, you might have to just, if it's the church plant's struggling, you may have to dig deep and get the resources internally to invest again and not think that, well, I've done it at the beginning and off it goes. Mm-hmm. But there is also clearly times where you just, it is time to pull it and regroup and regather. And I guess it's kind of different. You've bought a building and things like that. But there are other ways to resource a group or take a break. It's a very, very difficult decision to reach. But in our case, all I can say is there was a great deal of unanimity and agreement and sense of it being right and good. And that it wasn't like, and even a retreat can be the best next step.
Yeah.
And it's foolhardy. Sometimes there's foolhardiness to press on where angels fear to tread kind of thing. And but it does leave an ache. We are aching to see it. It does prick your pride as well. And that's no bad thing. but it does leave an ache for getting back out in the field. We'd love to see Buckley blessed with a new church. There's so many people there who I think we just have a concern for.
That's really helpful to think about that, the healthy leadership of the kind of the sending church first. That's really important, and then that plurality as well of leaders, so it's not just all on one person to make the massive decisions. And that unity was real. Sounds like it was a real help to make that final call.
Definitely.
So as we come into an end, running out of time, the entry in Pray for 100 guide was about a year ago now or so. Mm-hmm. We've been praying for wisdom and all that kind of stuff. If people want to pray now, kind of a year on, how are things? Can you tell us one thing that we can praise God for, one thing we can pray for you?
Well, praise God for the team has come back in such good shape, and all the various people concerned are now established in new situations, and it's all kind of, very, very encouraging from that side.
Okay.
What to pray for? Well, there is this flicker of interest in something that we'd love to see fan into something established. And we're gathering people from around the region and anybody else is interested to pray for North Wales. And that's coming up in July. It's just like an online meeting that we're going to do. But just those kind of initiatives that we're not just ourselves, but across the area, that believers across the area would really unite with a passion to pray, and that the Lord would then lead us into shared action, and we'd see churches planted and revitalized in North Wales.
Great. That's the Reach North Wales group, is it?
Reach North Wales.
Yeah. How can people find out about that if they want to get involved?
It's online. Yeah, we've got websites the prayer meeting probably is by an email and stuff like that. If somebody wants to get in touch with Ebenezer Baptist Church at Malden, send me an email. We can send you a link if you'd like to join us to pray.
Yeah.
But I mean, I appreciate this podcast. It may have passed by the time this goes
we'll
out.
See if
but,
we can line it up in time.
Hopefully we'll still be praying even then.
Yeah. Great. Well, let me pray for you now before we finish.
Thanks, Joel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father God, for Ebenezer and the many years that you have brought faithful believers into your church there and all the work that you've done through that church. Thank you for the church plants that we've spoken about, the various ones, the one in Denby that is going well. Do thank you for this church plant in Buckley. And even though it didn't go as expected, we praise you that through difficulties and strife that you have brought some good out of it. Thank you for those who have benefited through it, who've grown, who've built relationships. Thank you for those who were reached in that area as the church plant was going on. And we thank you that that team have come back. They've come back in good shape. They've come back with lessons learned, with able to share. And we pray for Buckley that you will bring a church there through whatever that might look like into the future. We pray that you would give Ben and Ebenezer and other churches up in that part of Wales great wisdom to know what that might look like. We pray that you would bless them, you bless that town, build your church there, and that you would save many people in Buckley. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thanks so much
for your prayers.
Yeah, thank you for sharing as well your experience, being honest about that as well. It's been really helpful.
Glad.
And thanks for people who've been watching, listening as well. Hope you enjoyed it, found it helpful. If you did, please like and share and comment and all that kind of stuff so people can find it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, Ben.
Great. Thanks.